This one go higher? Does that one go higher? Go as high as you can, because I can't read anything down below my navel. Oh, that's good. That's very good. Wonderful. It is good to be with you folks. It is very good to be here. In fact, we have a church family in Bend that prays for this church all the time. All the time. And because we care about you and your pastors are part of our family, so we're all just part of the family together. How's that? That's a good thing. And I was sitting here thinking, it's funny, I was talking to Dan before service, and we were talking about sharing our faith with people and how we do that. And one of the things I have done for too many years is ref football. And I've done duck scrimmages and beaver scrimmages and some semi-pro and mostly high school, and don't do the college because my weekends are busy as a pastor. But one of the reasons I ref football is because everywhere in Central Oregon, I'm Pastor Dan. When I go out and ref, I'm just Dan. And I get to just talk to people and meet them. And in fact, I had a game several years ago. A young man passed away in the end zone right before a game. And of course, we suspended the game. But if I was there as Pastor Dan, you know, separation, they wouldn't have let me do anything. But since I was a head referee, I got to pray with coaches and parents and kids. And God does all kinds of neat things. Well, anyway, last week was Super Bowl Sunday, and that's like a national holiday in the United States. But so what I did is I dressed in my full ref gear to preach my sermon last week. And we went through the rules of the game, and I threw flags and talked about what it means. And then we went through scripture and how it works in our life. It was a fun thing. But when I walked in, and everybody looked at me, and they know I ref because church family knows me. But I walked in, and I said, I heard there was going to be a rough crowd this morning. So I didn't wear my ref outfit today. How's that? But it's a privilege to be with you, and just thankful. Thankful that God is a good God in control of everything in our life, and He has something to do for us this morning. Let's just stop and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll go to God's Word. Let's do that, shall we? In fact, let me do this. Did anyone not get a handout that wants one? There are scriptures. Anyone not? He's got a few extra ones. Rick, I'll let you run up down the aisle real quick, and see if anybody can. Didn't get one, just has the scriptures. You can do it the good way. Look up in your Bible or on your phone, however you do it. Wonderful. And this morning we are going to talk about God and correction. God and correction. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time of the Word. Father, we love you. Thank you that you are faithful. Lord, thank you for this day where we have the freedom to gather together. And Lord, I pray for every other believer in this community, other churches. God, I pray they're full. Anoint pastors to share the word. Lord, be with our folks back in Bend this morning. But Lord, you knew who would be here this morning. You who knew who would be at this service. Nobody's here by mistake, because God, your word says you order the steps of the righteous. So Lord, you have a plan for us. And Lord, I pray that we would listen for your voice, that we would hear what you would say to us beyond Dan or beyond man, beyond anything in our human understanding. God, let us hear from your spirit that we can respond and move forward in your love. We thank you. We bless you. We choose to commit this time to you. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Oh, that was pathetic. And everyone said?
Amen.
Oh, good. You're with me. That's a good thing. Okay, I want you, a little participation here. I want you to respond by raising your hand if you can respond to these questions, okay? First of all, as a child, how many of you ever had to take a timeout? Let me see hands. Some of you go, what's a timeout? Okay, most of you know what that is. Okay, next question. How many of you ever got grounded? Okay, as a parent, I hated grounding. It meant the parents were grounded, right? Not because you had any, okay? How many ever had to do extra chores? Okay, most all of you. How many ever got a spanking? Okay, how many of you like me ever got a whooping? Okay, there's a difference in a whooping and a spanking, right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Now listen, I understand. You get this many people together in a group this size, there's statistically, there are people that have experienced abuse and true beatings. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That grieves my heart. That is not God's plan for correction. But God does believe in correction. According to His Word, He believes in correction. But not abuse. God does not abuse His kids. And that's hard for us sometimes when we look at this fallen, broken world to understand that. Now listen, a good parent will correct their children. Right? It's a good parent. They're going to correct their children. They're going to deal with things. And it's not because they don't like them. It's not because they're out to get them. It's because they love them. They care about them. They want their kids to be safe. They want their kids to have healthy boundaries. They want their kids to be able to live up to the full potential for their life. My wife and I have 5 children. Our oldest is with the Lord. She passed away from a childhood sickness, and that was a hard thing. I don't wish that on anyone, and yet God is faithful. He gets you through times like that. I want you to understand, I adore my kids. And then I learned about grandkids. Oh, glory. In fact, a little lady in our church came and she goes, "Pastor, grandkids are God's reward for not killing your kids." I don't think that's scripture, but okay. I love my grandkids. Now, oh my. And especially, you know, since I lost a daughter, our first granddaughter that was home where I got to hug on her was a granddaughter. And so, you know, there's that special grandpa connection and everything. And I adore all my grandkids, but oh, my Adea, my little Day-Day. And one day, she's about 4, and she was at home staying with Grandpa and Grandma in town for a few days. And did I mention that my granddaughter was perfect? Did I mention that? Well, almost. Anyway, one day, I was in the other room, and I listened, and I could hear my wife. And she had 2 correcting sessions with Adea. And I could hear it, and I hid in my office, okay? And we were talking a little later, and my wife, just almost with tears in her eyes, she goes, "That just breaks my heart." She goes, "I just hate doing that. I hate having to bring correction." But you know something? We love her. And because we love her, we correct her. In fact, I'll throw this in. And see, I can't get on sidetracks or you won't get done till next Tuesday. But let me throw this in. Is after our daughter died, it was hard for us to correct my son. And for a while, I just didn't hardly have it in me. And I thought, I'll never correct him again. And then I decided, I can't live with him. I've got to correct him. You know, there's a balance there. And so it's hard to correct people that you love, especially your kids. But there's some things that we need to understand that God's word tells us about correction that I think can be helpful to us. And on your outline there, we have several things. First thing I want you to understand about God's correction is this: God is not out to get you. He loves you. God's not out to get you. He loves you. Everybody got that? Okay, turn to the person next to you, friend behind. Turn and say, "God's not out to get you. He loves you." Tell him. Come on, I want to see you tell him that. Now, be honest. Have you ever had times where it felt like God was out to get you? Ever had times like that? Don't you feel like that sometimes? Dear Lord, everything's gone wrong. You don't think anything else can go wrong, and it goes wrong, right? And you're going, "God, what's up with that? What's going on here?" Let me tell you something. If God was out to get us, we are all toast. I mean, it's over. If God was out to get us, we're not sitting here right now. He loves us. He has a plan for us. God cares about us, and God wants you to succeed. What does Jeremiah tell us? God says, "I know the plans I have for you. They're good, to bless you and prosper." He's not to destroy you. He wants to bless you, but He cares about you, and He wants to bring correction in your life. You see, the Bible tells us that because God loves us, He corrects us. One version of the Bible says, the King James says, He chastens His own. That's how the King James says it. And that word chasten or correction, as it's used there in the original Hebrew, it's found in the Greek word pahadia, which comes from a word paeus, which means simply child. Now, that refers not just to a child, but the word in full refers to child training. And it's a word that we have derived and we use for discipline. Training a child. Now, if you look in the dictionary, not only the Greek lexicon, but in the dictionary, and look up what it says for discipline, it means this. I love this. I think I put it on your outline, didn't I? To bring to a state of order and obedience by training and control. To punish or penalize in order to train, control, correct, and chastise. Okay, if you got your outline, circle that in order. That's important, because if you don't leave that conjunction, if you don't get that, then you'll miss the point. It sounds like just punishment. It's not just punishment. It's all about growth. It's about teaching us to be molded in what God wants us. You see, God is always working for our good. All the time He's working for our good. Now, did anybody know God gave us a free will? Have you noticed that? And did you notice people exercise that free will and blow it and make mistakes? That's why Jesus had to come and die. God created the world. Everything was in order. God and man had fellowship. But when man exercised that choice that God gave him, that rebellion, that sin, brought imperfection into the universe. And now there's a break between a perfect and holy God and imperfect man. That came because of choice. And now, guess what? We live in a broken, fallen world. And that's why we see suffering, that's why we see sickness, that's why we see a lot of things. It came out of that disobedience that God gave us the choice. Anybody vote to get rid of choice? Maybe, okay. Yeah, it'd be easier, but no. God says, I love you, I trust you with that. And that's where it came. And so, even times when we make poor choices, I want you to know, God is so big. He's always working. Always. When we do good, God's working. When we make poor choices, God is working, even through all the things that happen in our life. In fact, Ephesians 8:28, most of you know that very well, is the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, love God according to His purpose. Okay, I didn't put that in your outline, but that verse you know. Okay, now, what you need to understand, God is so big and so good, He uses all things. That verse does not, people came to me, well, how can a good God kill babies? God doesn't kill babies. That came because of disobedience, sin, and a fallen world. Okay, you need to understand that. Some people don't get that. That's where that came from. God loves us. He's given choice. We live with some of the consequences in this world. But He is so good, He says, I will use all things together for good. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. Well, how can you give thanks for that? You want to know something? I don't give thanks for some of the things that happen, but I give thanks because God is so big. He says, I will even use the bad things. I will even use your mess-ups as you submit and surrender to me. I will use those to bring ultimate good so the kingdom of God is glorified. Now, that's pretty cool. That's pretty big God, right? And that's who we serve. And we have to make that choice to respond, to submit to Him, and let Him work in our life. And then He begins transforming those things. And I want you to understand this. Listen, we are not robots that mindlessly just walk and serve God. I love what Joshua said to the people in the Old Testament. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you know every day you get to choose if you're going to serve God or not? Now, I'm not saying you're in and out of heaven. I'm just saying every day you get to choose if you're going to serve God. How many understand people that love God don't always choose to serve Him? People that love God sometimes make some poor choices. All of us. And so every day we have to choose. God, I will serve you today. And even in our wrong choices, even when accidents happen, God is bigger than accidents. God is bigger than mistakes. God is bigger than wrong choices. In fact, I love to say it this way. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in divine appointment. Believe that with all my heart. Even when foolishness gets us there, God, you mean God made you do that? No, He gave you a choice. But He's so big. You know, there's not one thing that's going to happen today, yesterday, this week, last week, or in the week to come that's going to happen. God's going to go, oh, didn't see that coming. Right? He sees it. He knows it. He says, no. How do you respond? Let me walk it out. Work it out for your good. That's the God we serve. And so I wanted to remind you, God is bigger than us. He's bigger than our failures, and He's still in charge of the universe regardless of how crazy things get. I love that. Now, God is not just standing idly by and watching the wheel of life turn. His hand is on the wheel. He knew all about that before Carrie Underwood ever sang it. She's the one singing the song, right? Okay, His hand's on the wheel, okay? Now, how many of you ever told your kids, or how many young people have ever had your parents telling you when you're getting corrected, I'm doing this because I love you? Ever heard that or said that? Okay. How many of you heard this one? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. How many ever heard that one? Yeah, I don't believe that one, right? When I was a kid, I'm going, yeah, right. Okay, no. It's true, though. It's true, especially as a parent. And so listen, the Bible tells us That's how God works with us, is speaking into our life, bringing hope, courage, and direction. Now, there's several scriptures that bring this out, and they are on your outline. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." In 1 Corinthians 11:31, 32, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Now, let me make a comment about that. You see, how many of you look at wicked people that do bad, nasty things, and it seems like they just get away with it? Ever seen that happen? Okay, listen. Everyone's going to stand before God someday. There will be a day that everyone stands before God. Now, there's going to be a different judgment for those that love the Lord and those that don't know the Lord. But everyone is ultimately going to stand before God. And God keeps perfect books. You need to understand that. But listen, the Bible says, for those of us that know and love and belong to the Lord, God loves us so much, He doesn't wait till we die for us to get judged. Now, is that good news or bad news? That's great news. It doesn't sound very fun, but that's great news. Why? Because He deals with us now so we can grow and we can walk in our faith walk and become who and what He wants us to be. Let's go on. Revelation 3:19. "As many as I love," this is the Lord speaking, "I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." In Hebrews 12, starting at verse 5b, it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Now, almost all of you raised your hand and said, "I've been corrected," or "I've had a good spanking." Okay? Is there anyone here that just loved getting a good spanking? Okay, we have counseling available if anybody raised their hands. None of us like correction. That's not fun. But you see, correction, when done right, lets you know that you're loved. It lets you know that you're loved. I used this title in a sermon that I shared in our church. I had a lady that came early to church, and she pulled out her bulletin, pulled out my sermon outline, and she saw God's correction. And she just began to weep. And I thought, "Oh, Lord." I went and talked to her before church ever started, just weeping. And she said, "Pastor, I looked at the title and I just couldn't help but weep." She goes, "As I grew up as a child, I felt like nobody loved me. I never was corrected because nobody cared." "You mean God corrects us?" And I said, "Oh, are we going to talk?" Psychologists tell us that often the reason that kids act out is because they want to know if they're loved. That's why they act out. James Dobson said this one time. He says, kids are kind of like a traffic beat cop walking his night beat. He'll go up to every door on his beat and he'll rattle the door to make sure it's locked. He doesn't want it to be open, but it's his job to see if it's unlocked. Do you know that's what kids do? They're going to rattle the door. No, they don't want it to be open. They want to know it's locked, but it's their job description to check it. Okay? That's what they do. And so God loves us by saying, listen, here's boundaries, here's borders. Kids don't want punishment, but there's comfort and healing that comes when you know somebody cares. When they truly care about you. Shouldn't throw in extra stuff, but is when I was on staff, I was doing things and I would lead worship and different things. In fact, the band, you guys did so good this morning. I remember when I first went to band, there was a couple Sundays it was just me and my 12 string. It's so neat to see a whole band up there worshiping. That's awesome. Good job, guys. But I would lead the worship and service, and Mondays we'd sit down, the pastoral staff, and debrief after Sunday. And our senior pastor at the time, great man of God, just discernment. And we'd sit down and he'd talk. And I believe it or not, I've had some music theory, and actually I've had some training. And I'm kind of supposed to know what I'm talking about. And he barely could hold a tune, you know, didn't sing real well, but loved the Lord. And we'd sit down, and he says, well, Dan, how'd it go? What was that the song you should have picked? Do you think you went too fast on that? Did you go too slow? Did everybody get bored? He goes, did you go slow enough on that one that you let God talk to people? You know, and we'd go in, and I'd call Brenda after the meeting. She'd go, how's it go? And I go, great. He tore me up. But I knew he loved me. And you see, when you know somebody loves you, you receive correction. Sometimes it's hard for us to receive correction because we have bad experiences in our past. We don't trust God to even use other people. But what if ornery people, what if wicked people are in authority? Well, doesn't Romans 13 say all authority is given by God? So God even allows, now the Bible says God raises up kings and he takes them down. God will deal with people. He won't let them get away with stuff forever. But God's so big. Do you understand how big God is? He's so big that he will use all those things for our good, for the good of the kingdom. I'm so thankful we know he cares. Okay, second truth about God's correction, Roman numeral 2. God is wanting to shape us because, one, because he loves. That's why he wants to shape you, because he loves you. Hebrews 12:6 says, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Now, God's correction tells me he cares. I don't always feel like it. I don't feel like that. But you see, I've lived long enough now, I'm beginning to understand it. Oh, he's doing this because he loves me. In fact, you know what my wife tells me? She'll say, Dan, and she'll tell me something. And she goes, hon, I'm not saying this to be mean. Everybody else is thinking it. They just won't tell you. I'm telling you because I love you. I go, well, maybe love somebody else. You know, that hurts. But no, you see, it's important. I was going, ever felt like you want to say, so Lord, don't care so much? Yeah, okay, we feel it. Let's go on. Number two, God's wanting to shape us because he chastens us because he longs. What does he long for? He longs to make us more like Jesus. That's what he wants to do. He's wanting you to be more like Christ. You know what? The reason that I correct my granddaughter, even though it just tears me up, the reason I correct her is because I want her to grow up to be like Jesus. Because I know that's going to be better for her and the rest of us. Number three, God's wanting to shape us because he chastens, because he liberates. He liberates us. You see, I wish I would put this on your outline. God does not want us living under the dominion of self or sin. You understand that? I want to be in control of my life. God help you. I don't want to be in control. I want the Lord in control of my life. I know what my old nature does. And I'm a pretty nice guy. You don't know me, but I am. I'm a pretty nice guy. But I know what my old nature does. I want to be having Jesus on the throne of my life. And I don't want sin on the throne of my life because I know what sin does. It brings death and destruction, right? Wages of sin is death. There's death on all kinds of levels. I don't want that. I want the Lord in control. And see, the Lord loves us so much, this liberation concept, the Lord wants to break strongholds in our life. If there is you can belong to the Lord, but how many know, even though you love the Lord, there still can be a stronghold in your life? And God loves you so much, he says, I see that, and I want to deal with that. Because I want you to walk in liberty. I want you to walk in freedom. I don't want you to be bound up by that. And so I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to reveal it. And I'm going to bring healing and fullness. And that's the heart of God. He often has to chastise us in order to wean us from sin. Fourthly, He chastens because He is Lord. He created us with a choice. And He says, now choose to let me be Lord of your life. You have to choose that. He wants to direct us. He wants to lead us. He wants us to have full cooperation with His plan. And sometimes I found that God has to correct me because sometimes I get off on my plan instead of His plan. Have you ever gone to the Lord and says, Lord, I've got this wonderful plan if you'll just make this work? Ever done that? I've done that for my church. And the Lord says, no, Dan, that's a nice plan, but that's not my plan. Eek, that's not fun. Hebrews 12, verse 9, the phrase, who disciplined us and we respected them for it, talking about fathers. You see, God does not chastise us just to vent emotions. You watch earthly parents, and some of us, maybe you've been there. We get mad. How many of you have ever counted to three with your kids? Okay, and when do they move? Okay, how many have got one, two, two and a half, two and three quarter? You ever done that? Okay, you know why? Because they don't care about the numbers. They know where your action line is. And so when God deals with us, He doesn't just vent on us like earthly parents. Because some we sit there, we don't want to have to get up. That's why we keep going halves and quarters. And God does not chastise to vent emotions. His correction is always for our profit and His glory. Now, let me tell you a story I've told many times over the years. My father, I am a third, fourth generation pastor. My parents says, don't be a pastor unless God calls you. One of the godliest men I've ever known. My dad, good man, just man, treats people. I've watched big name evangelists and little guys at pastors in the middle of nowhere, and he treats them the same. Just a godly man. My dad's almost perfect. I can tell you everything wrong with him, but he's almost perfect, okay? Great man. I respect him. When we were young, my dad didn't believe in timeouts. He believed in dealing with situations. In fact, he believed in taking the Board of Education and applying it to the seat of knowledge. You ever heard that phrase? And he didn't just haul off and hit us, but he would discipline us. And when we were going to get disciplined, he didn't just boot us or things like that. He said, meet me in my bedroom. And oh, that was a long walk. And we'd go in there, and he would always say, what did you do? And we'd have to tell him. And then he says, okay, you're going to get a spank. And he used the belt, and he didn't fold it over. He used it long, and he applied it, okay? And we knew it. But then, after we were corrected, he'd say, now, why did you get that spanking? And then he would give me a hug or pray with me and say, okay, go. And that taught me things. Well, my last spanking, I was 17 years old. Now, I was the oldest. How many of you know you learn on your oldest kid? That was too old. He learned that. But he said, meet me in my bedroom. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, really? Because it had been like years. And he was pretty hot. He said, meet me in the bedroom. And I walked in there. And at the time, I thought, this is ridiculous. I was 17 years old. At the time, I was 6'2" and 180 pounds. I just dream of that weight now. But back then, and I was a pretty good athlete. And I'm walking in there and I'm thinking, I think I can take him. I was thinking about it. Because my dad's no little guy and he's athletic. In fact, he was built like I'm built now, big guy. And but you know something? Even if I could have taken him, I wouldn't have because I respected him. But I remember thinking, this is lame. And so I walked in there. What did you do? Yes, sir, told him. And I had on, they used to call them cutoffs. And I got like 7 or 8 strokes with his belt. And I remember thinking, this is so dumb. I'm going to stand here and show him this is dumb. And I didn't disrespect. I didn't talk back. But whap. And they got me on the legs and everything else. And I stood there. And when he was done, he looked at me and he says, do you think you can remember? And I said, yes, sir. And I turned and walked out of the room like it didn't even matter. Went straight across the hall into my sister's room, shut the door, and went, you know. And I had welts. I had welts. Now, some people say, that's abuse. No, it wasn't. It was a whooping, okay? There's a difference. Now, even now, I was too old. Now, let me tell you why. What age is too old? There's not an age. You have to go. But here's the problem. I've told that story hundreds of times in counseling. And to this day, I don't remember why I got a whooping. I just remember the whooping. You see, that wasn't good correction. If all you remember is they were bigger than me, then they're a bully. The purpose of correction is to modify behavior. I think I put that on your outline. When God corrects you, He's not trying to prove to you, I'm God and you got to do what I say. If God corrects you, it's because He loves you, He's protecting you, or He's trying to modify your behavior. And so we have to learn from that and go on. He loves us that much. Now, a timeout, if handled right, sometimes can be more effective than a whooping. That's why you got to discern. Sometimes, though, a swat in the bottom gets their attention, and that's all you really needed. You have to discern that. Now, a third truth about God's correction is this. Punishment for a Christian is not God getting even with us. Like I said, if God wanted to destroy us, folks, we're gone right now. And even sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm really going through it now, and I deserve this because I've done some wrong things. But listen, if you've gone to the Lord and asked the Lord to forgive you, then He will forgive you. When God forgives, He forgives. But do you understand there's such a thing as consequences? Does anybody know there's something called gravity? If you take a rock and you drop it, it's going to fall. And if it hits your foot, it's going to hurt. Now, if you're a Christian and you have a rock and you drop it, what's it going to do? It's still going to hurt, right? Because there's cause and effect. There's consequences to what's going on. Consequences to our choices. The Lord takes our eternal punishment, but sometimes He lets us have to face natural consequences so we learn the lesson that He's trying to teach in our life. Little short clip that I want to show you. I'm wrapping up here and we'll go. Go ahead and run that if you've got that, would you?
Well, hello again, Mr. Lee. What seems to be the problem today?
Adam here has been in another fight.
Oh, really? Tell me, Mr. Evers, haven't you already been in here twice in the past month?
Yeah, so?
I get the feeling you don't really care you've been in here so much.
Spare me the speech. Just get on with it.
Tell me, what did we do the last time you were in here?
Same as always. Can we just get on with it?
Did we punish you?
I said yeah.
Show some respect.
Did you even stop to think about what happened the last time you were in here before you got into another fight?
I could take whatever you throw at me. It won't hurt me.
I see. Mr. Lee, what exactly happened this time?
He pushed Josh down in the hall and then proceeded to hit him with closed fists.
I see.
Could we just get on with it?
Tell me, Mr. Evers, do you know what grace is?
Isn't that what you old people say right before you eat?
I'm talking about the meaning of grace.
Great, another boring lecture.
Grace is when a person receives something they don't deserve, or they don't receive a punishment they so richly deserve.
What?
It means you don't get punished even though you deserve it.
You mean I'm not getting smacked?
That's what I'm talking about.
You mean I get to walk out of here without being punished?
Yep.
Sir?
You're kidding, right?
Nope.
So I get to walk out of here, and there is no punishment for me being in that fight.
I didn't say that.
I knew there was a catch.
Mr. Lee, may I have your belt?
I knew there was a catch.
Adam, give the belt to Mr. Lee. I want you to count the licks out loud.
So much for getting away clean. What are you doing?
I'm taking your punishment for you, Mr. Evers.
What?
You are to count the licks out loud. Mr. Lee, begin.
You're crazy, man! You're crazy!
Count them, Mr. Evers. Count them, Mr. Evers.
3, 4.
Out loud.
5.
Count, Mr. Evers.
6. Stop it!
Keep counting, Mr. Evers.
You don't deserve this. I do. Stop it, please. I'm the one that's supposed to be there. Stop it, please. Stop. Please. Stop. You don't deserve this. Stop. Stop.
That, dear Adam, is grace. Remember it. See, God wants to forgive us. We just have to ask for grace. It's not that God just says, oh, I forget it. He says, no, I've paid for it. That's what that eternal grace is all about. The last point that I have is Roman number 4. God wants us to learn from each other. Did a funeral for one of the men in our church's mom. As I was preparing for the service, her family brought me her Bible and her journals. And I was going through her journals. And as I was going through it, I read it, and she said, I had many brothers and sisters. Big family. I didn't get in much trouble because I learned what not to do from watching them get corrected. See, that's wisdom. Sometimes even the most spiritual of us don't catch on. We make wrong choices, mistakes. And so God allows things to happen in our life because He loves us that much. He says, got to get your attention. And sadly, if we don't listen, then correction often comes through suffering. And you know, what hurts me the most is not when I suffer, it's when the people I love suffer because of my choices. That's what tears me up. C.S. Lewis, he said, in describing the role of suffering in the life of a believer, he describes it as soul-making. He said, it is the shaping of the Christian with the hammer and the chisel of adversity. He also said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. God speaks to us in our consciences, but He shouts to us in our pain. Boy, I want to hear the whisper, don't you? Even when we fail, God's not out to get us. That's why He died. That's why He died, is to forgive us so we could go forward. He's just calling us to be more like Him. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that? Do you know that God doesn't give up on you even when you fall short? He just waits for repentance. Yeah, sometimes we have to walk through correction, but He's faithful. And I'd give this challenge, if there's anyone here and you don't know if something happened to you today, you'd go to be with the Lord. I want you to know Jesus died for you. He wants to wash you and wants to forgive you. Please, don't leave. Let one of us pray with you before you leave. Because he loves you that much. And he took your punishment. Father, I love you. I pray that you would even cover your word. That we would not just hear, but we would listen. And Lord, you know there are men and women here today. Some of them are going through difficult things. Some of it because of their choices. Some of it because of the choices of others. Some of it because Satan, the destroyer, is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We bind that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray even today that this would be a day of new beginnings where you would mark life and take it forward. And I thank you and I ask it in Jesus' name.